Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What Is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show where we are making this world a polite place to live one person at a time. We cover topics ranging from acts of kindness to handling pet peeves. If you are listening live, call 347-324-3295. Now here is your host, etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Happy Sunday, good evening, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Today is Sunday, April 27th, 2014, and we are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. Today we are going to talk to a friend to the show, Barbara Lashley, and she is going to give us some tips about how to prepare for the CRCT testing. So you may want to go ahead right now and get a pencil, some paper, so you can jot down some notes. And also you want to call a few friends and have them listen if they have children that are in school and they are taking these exams. But first of all, since the name of our show is What is Etiquette Anyway?, I'm going to take just a moment to answer that question. Etiquette is simply a set of rules of behavior. By using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket, and later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England copied the rules from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere, and I am so grateful for that. Well, once again, welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. I am Miss Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady. Hope you've had a great weekend so far, and I am so glad that you're taking time out of your Sunday evening schedule to join us. Well, it is that time of the year, CRCT time. And oftentimes a lot of parents get very anxious about this test, and of course the students are a little anxious. And we're just going to give you some tips on how just to be calm and cool. I'm going to bring on our friend, Ms. Barbara Lashley. She's been on our show several times. She's a school administrator. And as I said, she is going to give parents both and students valuable tips for preparing and for taking the exam. Barbara, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, and thank you for having me this afternoon.
Absolutely. We've been certainly looking forward to having you come back on. I know around the country it's CRCT test-taking time. Many of the school districts have started. Many of them started last week, but, of course, we know that they are going to go on throughout next week. But what I'm going to do, because I know we have so much information we want to share, I'm going to start with you. I don't know if you just have some tips you want to give, and then I can I can read some of the emails and then take some of the phone calls. So it just depends on how you want to start. If you have some really pressing information that you want to share, just to make sure that, you know, our parents are calm, our students are calm, and actually our teachers are calm, because oftentimes the teachers are very anxious, and that spirit transfers, you know, to the students, right?
Right. That is absolutely correct. And I will just start by, just giving just a few tidbits, and then we can actually follow through with perhaps any questions that the parents may have. And, you know, if we don't profess to have all the answers, but it may be that if there are answers that parents need, we can get them back to them somehow later.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something
Can I say this? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Barbara, for interrupting. However, those persons who may not have heard you the other times that you were on the show, would you be so kind to just tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Oh, thanks. Of course. Again, my name is Barbara Lashley. I am an administrator in Atlanta Urban High School. I've had the opportunity of working with many schools across the country over the past, I would say, 5 to 7 years. And basically what I do is I assist with training teachers and administrators, as well as going into classrooms and looking at the pedagogy of teachers and then helping to build achievement plans so that when we get to this point where we are right now, that there is some degree of expectancy in terms of how the kids will actually perform on these high-stakes assessments, high-stakes tests. So we know that everything is kind of hinging upon this, and everybody tends to get really, really excited about it. But today, as I have always done throughout the years, is just try to give a few tips and just to get everyone to approach the situation in a way that's going to be very beneficial for both the students and for the parents and teachers alike.
Okay, great. And so we're going to let you just take off with it.
Okay, the first thing, I think that this statement is, as I thought about, you know, just from being a parent in the past myself and just thinking about these high-stakes tests, even when we hear the name high stakes, it just brings about a kind of anxiety or, I should say, anxiousness, I should say, with the kids and with parents. But what I want to also put out there is that test-taking is a skill. And I'm going to say that again, is that test-taking is a skill. If we can think of, even as adults, there are those of us who are just, when it comes to test-taking, we may not do as well as we would if we were actually able to write it out or talk it out. So I say that to parents to say that at this particular time, with your students and with teachers with students and parents with their children, is that I feel the time now each night and moving forward to the duration of the testing period, the time will be best spent on talking about some test-taking skills or strategies. And those, if you don't have those things that have been provided to you by teachers, I am sure that as parents even that I would email or I would reach out to teachers to say, you know, what are some test-taking skills or strategies that you guys have been working on at school so that sometimes at the dinner table or whatever, you can do some of those really lighthearted review of those test-taking skills because, again, the test-taking is a skill, and knowing how to take a test is just as important as knowing the content or the information that is within the test. And I say that because just telling the students to do things like, for example, most schools will be starting out most likely with the reading assessment. And there's each day there's going to be a different assessment. Most times it's English, language arts, or it's reading. Now, for the students to do well, again, they need to make sure that they read all of the information first. Look at the questions. Some people say don't do that. I think it's a great idea. It doesn't matter if it's third grade, if it's eighth grade, if it's end of course test, whatever type of assessments that we're taking, if students look at the questions first to see what questions are there, because there's always a question there that's a misleading question. It doesn't fit with any of the information in the passage. Sometimes our children want to get by, and, you know, skimming is good on the second go-round, but that first time around, students need to make sure that they read the entire passage. Once they've read the entire passage, go back to the questions again. And it's also okay to go back into the paragraph or back into the section and to look for the answers and to think about, first of all, which of these three, most of the time it's 3 to 4 answers with multiple choice, which one does absolutely not fit? And look for those words like in place of or instead of or those are the words that generally trip students up. And those are things that teachers can provide. Most likely a lot of teachers give study test-taking packets that they've sent home with the kids to just kind of practice. So looking into those and talking more about what is the question asking you more so than the information, because I am of the opinion that at this late date, we can't cram all this information into our children's heads at this particular point. If they have not learned it at this point, then they will maybe be able to recognize it just by, you know, being exposed. They will be able to recognize a lot of the information if they're able to take the test properly and look for those test-taking strategies that we often talk about. So that's the main tip that I wanted to give to parents. That's a big one. And then I wanted to go on to, I have a website before we run out of time and so that I can leave time for questions. But I have a website that I'd like to give to parents that they can go on to explore if there are specific test-taking tips that they would like to try out. Because knowing your student and knowing your child, sometimes you are able to discern or to decide which are the best tips or where are the areas that my child really needs a little bit more encouragement or a little bit more help. Then you're able to pick around at those tips and then actually pull those ones out that are more appropriate for your particular student or your particular child. And that website is http://www.testtakingtips.com. Again, that website is http://www.testtakingtips.com. That's one of the things that can help. I want to throw out one other resource as well. Most of the schools have found that they have bought into a computerized program that really assists with test-taking practice as well as content, and that program is Study Island. If parents have not heard of that or if they don't know if their child has access to it, it would be a great idea to reach out to the parents, email them, find out the login. A lot of times the students already have them themselves. It's a program that they can practice even as early on. I would start even if you don't have kids, for example, if you have a second grader who's going to come up next year taking the test, start now having them go on Study Island. It gives them practice, and it gives them real-time results of how they did on those practice tests. And those tests are already organized and formatted just as the questions would be formatted on the high-stakes test. So that's a great resource for parents and teachers to take advantage of. Find out if that is in your school, if they have, in fact, the kids may have already been doing it. But find out what you need to do with that also at the home site, because having the kids do that at home, you know, the nights leading up to test, which they won't have any homework, is a real lighthearted way, again, of getting the kids involved in that but keeping it real light. On that note, I must say this. It is very important for families to stay as calm as they possibly can. Of course, we want to make sure that the kids get enough sleep at night. We want to make sure that they get a breakfast in the morning. That is so very important. And the main thing that I had to always be mindful of is to make sure that I gave myself enough time in the morning to get to school, to get them dressed without getting them in any type of rush situation, because it takes the focus off of them being relaxed. And if they go into the school and they're already anxious or they're, like, irritated from maybe a, I'll call it a rough start, for lack of a better way to put it, in the morning, it may affect their test-taking skills and so forth. So just being mindful that as a family we're going to shut it down, you know, we're going to make sure that we have a discussion each night. If they take reading on Monday, we're going to sit down. Maybe that's a dinner table discussion. Okay, you got math coming up tomorrow. If parents, I always say this, if you do nothing with students, especially elementary students, if you can do nothing with them with math to prepare them, you can always drill them or go through their multiplication tables, their addition facts. Those things are the fundamental practices. Those are prerequisite skills that they're going to need to perform any other skills. Most of the tests now are asking kids, those are the operations. And now a lot of reading and comprehension is involved even in the math tests. So students have to read and comprehend what that paragraph is asking them for. Then they have to decide which operation do they need in order to make that or come about that answer. So still, everything goes back to reading. And then, of course, just having them to read and to ask some questions. So those are just a few tips to start off with that I would say that are very, very important. If there are tutorials that are still going on, some schools shut those down because they're in testing. If they are, I would just advise students to go ahead and make sure they partake in those. So those are just to start off some things, and I'm going to stop talking right here, and so that if there are any questions, Donna, that we need to address, we can kind of go into those right at this point.
Okay. Well, you have certainly given a lot of great information. In case you all are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are talking about the proper way to prepare to take the CRCT test, or to prepare how to take it and actually how to take the test. And we are talking to Barbara Lashley, the soon-to-be Dr. Barbara Lashley in the Atlanta Public School Systems. I want to, let's see, and we're going to pretty much, we're just going to go pretty much straight through the show. We're not going to stop for a break or commercials or anything of that because it's so important to get all this information in, considering that we know that next week is the final week for the testing. So I want to make sure I get all the questions answered. Going to go to the phone, and the phone is extension 1328. Thanks for calling What is Etiquette Anyway. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Miss Etiquette Lady.
How are you today?
Good. And yourself?
I'm doing well. And if you would say hello to Dr. Barbara Ashley.
Hello, Ms. Dr. Ashley.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I wanted, basically, I'm trying to find out what I can personally do myself not to overwhelm my child. Something that's not beneficial if I have him studying too much. What to you is something that's a good amount of time for studying, and how should I go about that? I did hear you mention something about bring up things at the dinner table. I kind of do things a little different, and I'm always, trying to have him answer questions and hammer things in his head. And is that sometimes just going overboard?
Well, as parents, we tend to go overboard anyway. And when people tell us not to, we still do because that's just what we are. That's how we are. But I hear what you're saying. That's such a great question to ask. And, don't forget, I say the dinner table a lot, but, for some of us who have extensive commutes, that's always, it could be in the car as well. But I think the idea is to, our kids, for whatever reason, I don't know about yours, but mine seem to play off of my emotions. So if I seem anxious and all bothered about something, they tend to play off that and they are the same. So I would say first, Mom, is that I know that we all want our students to do well, and we feel that this test is such a determining factor as for, in many cases, whether kids go on to the next grade. And so we're right at this point. So I would say that the students already know that as well. So, again, I think just going over just basic things is good and strategies. Like if you could just check out that website and see if there's anything, I think a lot of it is I've noticed that kids know what the answers are, but they just don't know what the questions are asking them. So just teaching them and going over with how do you spot, what does this mean when it says almost or other than, or those words that can trip them up. I think just bringing their attention to those kinds of things, if if you had any study packets that your child has brought home from the teacher, and I'm hoping that he or she has, then just mm-hmm. going back through some of those things, and not so much the content of the information unless they ask you a question about something, but looking at how do you take this test well? How do you make sure you read everything, make sure that you go back to it again, make sure that you read all the questions. There's a tricky question in there. One of those questions is absolutely not the right answer. One of them is halfway right, halfway wrong. But those are the kinds of things that you can go back through them. And if you put them on a flashcard or something like that, it takes away from, oh, I just got to drill them a little bit, because there's no way we can actually drill them on all the information now that they probably need to know. So just keeping it real basic and real simple, using your good parental judgment, which I know you have, and I say just stay calm. And the biggest thing is just making sure that you guys have enough time in the morning and then at night that they are able to get the proper rest. I think that's about as much as we can do right at this point.
Okay. I thank you so very much for your input. Thank you.
Welcome. You're welcome.
All right. And thank you so much for calling the show. In case you're just joining us, we are talking about the proper way to prepare and take the CRCT exams. We know that they are going on around the country, and we want to make sure that the parents are comfortable, the students are comfortable as well. I know, Barbara, during this time of the year, I work with a lot of kids, and we talk about self-esteem. And so just affirming the fact that you know that they are smart, that they're going to do well, just kind of reinforcing
right.
that
exactly.
With your children. Exactly. Yeah, it's really, really important. And that will help yeah. also to relieve some of their anxiety, just building their self-esteem. And by the way, in case you guys have come in midstream on the show, you can go back after the show is over. Our shows are all archived, and certainly feel free to go back and listen to the show in its entirety. Barbara's given us some great information. I'm going to go to a couple of the emails. It says, "Hello, Etiquette Lady. Please ask your guest. I live in Georgia. I would like to know if all tests are the same countrywide. I will be moving to North Carolina next year, so I want to know what to expect."
Oh, that's a fantastic question as well. Well, when we get all of the tests may not be exactly the same. As you know, that the Georgia CRCT is Georgia Criterion Reference Test, which is a test that has been developed here in the state of Georgia. Each state has its own, quote-unquote, criterion test, which is what they try to test their students on. But primarily, those tests are all centered, again, around Common Core standards. So that's another reason why the country has tried, you know, in an effort to have everyone go to Common Core, is for that very reason, so that when parents leave and go from state to state to state, no matter where they go, I don't care what the test is called, but that the same standards per grade level is expected for that student. And so we have a ways to get there yet. I think that as administrators, teachers, and the like, that there is a lot more work that has to be done to be able to bring those standards down to the classroom level, so that students are able to actually process and to unpack those and to connect the content of the learning to that bigger picture, which is the standards. But I will say to the parent that most of the time the criterion reference tests are just testing the basic knowledge around and strategies around those particular content areas. And so if the child has done well here and has studied and prepared, I don't see any reason why the child wouldn't do well also in another state. Even though the test, I can say the answer is no, they're not going to be, they may not look exactly the same, but they're definitely going to test some of the same, you know, standards and criteria.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for sending us this. We're going to try to get through a few more before we close this evening. This one comes from Deb from Massachusetts. She says, Dear Etiquette Lady and Miss Ashley, my daughter, who is in the third grade for the second time this year because of not passing the CRT last year, she is not a good test taker. Can she be retained again if the results are not good again?
Well, I'm hoping that there were some measures that was put in place because what is happening is if she's not a good test taker, and if you're looking at how well did the student do during the year, during the content of the information on regular assessments, those are just some questions to ask. It may be that if the child did not do well again, there should have been some measures put in place to, I don't know, for some kids it would have been summer school, for others it would have been just some specific, I would say, plan of action, SST processes, which that's not a special ed process. That's a process that allows teachers to look at specifically what are some specific interventions that may be good for that student. And so right now, of course, we're at the end, and we're looking at whether or not that student will pass. But for the second time, the second grade, to look at can that child be retained again, I would think that it's all on an individual basis, and it would need to be looked at by the district. But I would keep close contact with the teachers on what that would mean. And a lot of times they allow the students to attend summer school or a session right after this so that they can prepare again and they should have another opportunity to take the test again. I think that they'll retest, and I know here in urban Atlanta that a lot of times kids are able to retest to see if they can test. And then there should be a way that they can tell exactly the areas that the child has not been successful, so that's something that maybe tutorials or, you know, a little bit of honing in on those areas would assist the child. So first of all, we're going to just hope for the best and say that we're going to think positive that child will pass the test this time. And then if something should go wrong where they pass part of it, they don't the other, then I think that would be a time for the parent to reach out to the school and say, guys, what can I do between now and the time that this child can actually retest to make sure that he or she has actually been exposed to some strategies or some interventions to really address the problems that showed up, you know, that were deficits on the CRCT.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And all the best to you. I'm sure she will do well, and she will certainly pass this time, I do believe. For those of you that are streaming live with us and you're listening to us live, our show is going to end momentarily. However, we're going to just carry it over a few minutes so that we can make sure that we've answered all the questions. You will be able to, however, go back and listen to the archive show in its entirety. We've got about a minute and a half for the live stream. Barbara, if you would just go ahead and give those websites again. I want to make sure everybody that is live listening can certainly have those websites.
Okay, great. Yes. The website that I recommended that I'll go to is, let me get to it again. I wrote it down to make sure. It's going to be http://www.testtakingtips.com. Again, that's testtakingtips.com, www.testtakingtips.com. And also I ask that they would check in with schools, see if they have the program Study Island. If they have bought into that program, more than likely the students have passwords and IDs that they can get onto that program right in their homes as well, and they can practice some of those tests and the content that they may see. You know, it won't be exact, but it will be the same type questions will be asked that they may be exposed to on the high stakes test. So those are two things that I would definitely look into as a parent. moving forward through this testing season.
Wonderful. Once again, we're going to lose you guys that are listening live, but please go back and listen to the archive of the show in its entirety, okay? I have another email. It says, Dear Etiquette Lady and guests, I'm so glad you are doing this show. Can you please ask your guests, why do they even administer these exams?
Oh, wow. Whoa, that's a great question. They have to find out, I guess, the why for state for test is that they have to see, you know, a lot, especially with public schools, we have a lot of funds that come into the districts to support and to assist with educating. And so with this, I think that the benchmarks in these high stakes tests are important so that they can see if the children are actually progressing along a continuum. Looking at what kind of curriculums do they need? I mean, they have to assess to find out if the children are learning, or what about the personnel? I mean, is it the students not learning? Is it that the personnel needs to look at how they are teaching or what kind of pedagogy is the students are being exposed to? So these tests are very, very necessary in terms of that, and just to see overall how well are our students learning. Now, I will say this, that tests are only a portion of what tells how they're learning. I think it serves as a gauge because they're certainly not the be-all, you know, because if a child has a bad day that day, and they don't test well, that could very well show up on the testing, which is why I'm really glad that there's an opportunity to test again. So at best, that's the only reason that I can give right now in terms of why they do this. But I know that they do not measure all skills and objectives across the curriculum, but they do put us in the ballpark of, you know, where kids might be in terms of how they're performing and you know, in terms of the work that they're getting. So those are just, that's just a way of collecting information so that they can acquire what the students know in order to identify instructional strengths and then areas of challenge and to try to modify instruction. So this is why the state departments are really looking at this kind of test to make those types of decisions.
Great. And thank you for sending that. Again, Barbara, thank you so much for the wonderful information you've given this evening. I have one more email. It says, Dear Etiquette Lady and Ms. Lashley, thank you so much for this info. I'll feel more comfortable next week encouraging my child. That is wonderful.
Cool. Excellent. That is mission accomplished.
Yes. And we want to make sure, once again, you do want to encourage your children, affirm them, help them to feel good about taking the test. You know, let them know how bright and how smart they are, and you know they're going to do well, so they are not so stressed out.
You know, just to do their best. And I got to throw a plug out here too, parents, is that use those if you have various, if they have various grade levels, because, you know, end of course tests are also going on in high schools next week.
Mm-hmm.
So those parents who have maybe kids taking CRCT as well as end of course tests, which is EOCD, make sure the same thing applies to those teenagers as they do our younger kids. In fact, the research shows that teenagers need a great amount, and I won't even quote the number of hours that they say that they need of sleep so that they can do well in school and that their, you know, their brains are still developing and growing. So all of this, without getting into that, that's a whole different segment, but making sure that these same things are used for them as well.
Well, actually, you know, I have an email here. It does say, thank you for doing this show. Are you going to do a show on how to prepare for the high school graduation test? So that's what you're talking about. So that is coming up relatively soon, did you say, these tests?
Right.
Okay. So So they want to know if you're going to come back and do a show on that, Barbara.
Of course, yes, and in a way that I can assist, I certainly will.
It's just ironic that you would mention that because I just got this one as well. Wasn't sure exactly when those are going to get started, but obviously Candy, because that's who that's from, Candy knows because she just sent that email stating that. So,
right,
but,
and also when information, too, along with that is also the high school graduation, the writing test, which can also hinder students from graduating as well. So we'll talk a little bit about that because there will be a retest that's coming up in July. So we may need to talk a little bit about, you know, as parents, how to prepare the students for that as well.
Okay, okay. Well, once again, Barbara, thank you so much for coming in. You always give such wonderful, meaningful information and such great tips. And parents, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Once again, in case you may have tuned in a little late on the show, no worries. Just simply go back and pull up the archive show. You'll be able to, at that time, hear it in its entirety. Thank you guys for supporting our show and listening. Everyone who called, emailed, those for joining us for the first time, I want to welcome you to and say we are so excited that you've become part of our What is Etiquette Anyway family. Thank you to the loyal listeners who tune in week after week. We certainly do appreciate you as well. Remember, if you have an etiquette question or if you have an etiquette topic you'd like to hear us cover in the future, please be sure to let us know about that, okay? Be sure to tell your friends and family about our show and invite them to listen as well. After all, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live. And Barbara, I know we talked a little, but I want to let you guys know that we'll have another show coming soon. Barbara, you want to talk about that, or shall we talk about that next week after we discuss our high schoolers?
Well, we'll just throw
just
a little bit out there is that we have been talking about something to help us as grown-ups and individuals, mm-hmm. and there are a few things that I've been studying around and that I'd like to share to just start getting in some conversation just about relationships and also just about relationships being, I guess, female and male relationships, on the job relationships, because it is my complete belief that everything is centered around relationships. And so we are talking, Donna and I are talking about launching some conversations around the groups that I plan to do with my business of Inner Voice, and we can talk about that later. But those are going to be some, I think that once we look at ourselves, when we start then talking about testing strategies and everything with our students, we have to, it's almost like you have to put the mask on yourself first and then you can say the students or your children, you know, they always tell you that on the airplanes and there's a reason
That's
for
right.
that. So we'll talk more about that in future dates. But, yes, thank you for allowing us to mention that. But we are talking about that next show, and I think I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be very beneficial.
Oh, absolutely. And so you guys out there, that was a little teaser, so stay tuned, okay? Once again, we want to thank you for listening. Remember the golden rule, treat others the way you want to be treated. Never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3:3. And as we remind you each and every show, please make sure you initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care. Good night and God bless.
Thank you.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Don't forget to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next week when we'll discuss another exciting topic.